The text this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, and particularly the few words at the beginning of that verse. But the goal of our instruction is love. A few months ago, I had the privilege of preaching in Indianapolis and used this text in both the morning service and the evening service. And after the evening service, I was quite astonished because there were many people who came to me to express appreciation. I was astonished at that. And I was particularly astonished at a statement one of the ladies made when she said something like this: "I've waited 20 years for that sermon, and I really was taken aback." I've waited 20 years for that sermon. Well, that could, on one hand, betray an agenda that one particular individual may have had. On the other hand, it was heartening to me from the perspective that what I had to say rang true. And what I was endeavoring to say in looking at this text, and you may recall that this is the case, what I was endeavoring to say was that instruction in the Bible is not an end in itself. That instruction in the Bible has a goal. And the goal, Paul tells us, is love. And part of the way to interpret that text is this: since God is love, as the Bible so pointedly tells us, if God is love, then the goal of our instruction is not just an abstract principle, but the goal of our instruction is God Himself and the love of God. And that's where we are this morning. And one of the things that happens when we make instruction an end in itself is that automatically there becomes a tension. There arises a tension between instruction on one hand and love on the other hand. And we get sayings like this: "Well, you're not going to give up the truth for the sake of love, are you?" You have that kind of tension. And part of the point of the text is that that tension does not exist in Scripture. That's a tension that arises out of the fact that we're sinful human beings. It's a tension that arises out of a misinterpretation of what the Bible has to say. And our instruction leads us to love and leads us to God. And this morning, my objective is to look at three different aspects of Christian life and the Christian church, namely evangelism and preaching and worship, and get a hold of the fact that there is not a tension that exists between instruction and love, but that our instruction leads us to love in evangelism, in preaching, and in worship. And I submit to you that that's part of what we are all about, dear friends in Christ. As a church and as a people who come together week by week to worship the Lord our God, the end and goal and purpose of our instruction is love. Now, what about evangelism then? Taking this idea and applying it to these three areas. In the outline, I say evangelism is not simply getting points across and eliciting positive response. You see, sometimes that's what evangelism is all about. Years ago, when I was in the Army and I was still in seminary and I was working at a post chaplain's office in southern Los Angeles, a little Army base there, a couple brought to me a young man. And this couple were greatly concerned about this young man because he wasn't a Christian and he was very interested in their daughter. And so I was supposed to remedy this situation. And very dutifully, I took him into a room and I presented to him the fact that he was a sinner. And I presented to him the story of Jesus, that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for the sins of people like us. And I told him that he needed to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior to confess his sins. And I prayed with this young man. And I will always remember, after going through those steps and eliciting from him a decision, quote unquote, that he rode away on his motorcycle laughing at me and the situation. And there you have it. You see, evangelism is not simply setting forth certain truths and getting people to assent to those truths. The goal of our instruction is love. Love for God. And when we take evangelism to mean setting forth certain truths and eliciting a proper response to those truths, it boils down to a horizontal relationship between me and the object of the evangelism. And when I'm not successful in eliciting a proper response, I feel guilty. It's my fault. And evangelism becomes something that has to do not with God principally, but it has to do with me and how I do it. And you see, it comes down to a misinterpretation of this text. The goal of our instruction is love. Instruction is not an end in itself. The same thing may occur in our situation here in preaching. And those of you who know me very well know that preaching is something I enjoy doing. And preaching is important. But preaching is not principally about imparting information and how I relate that information. Several months ago, Irma and I were in another congregation worshiping, and we heard a sermon on the triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. And the burden of the sermon was to display that as Jesus Christ came into Jerusalem and was lauded by those who followed him, and there were palm branches placed in the road, and coats and cloaks were placed in the road, and he was greeted as royalty. The burden of the sermon was that this was a great part of Christ's suffering. And in the class subsequent to the sermon, there were individuals who said, "I don't get it." And the whole point was to get across that idea, to impart that information. And the whole idea in the message and in the class afterward devolved to a horizontal plane in which there was a desire to get across that point and argue for that point. Now, I shouldn't be too critical about that, because I've done the same thing many times. But instruction is not an end in itself. And it's not about you and me, you say, principally. The goal of our instruction is love, and we are to be led to a love for God through Jesus Christ. And what about worship? You see, sometimes worship just comes down to our getting together. You hear the call to worship, a few verses. Sing a psalm. Then there's a prayer, commonly called the invocation. Sometime we ought to go through the order of worship and discuss it as to the import of each of the elements of the order of worship. And then we sing, and we read the Bible again. And then there's a sermon, and then we sing again. Don't want to mix up the order too much. I always remember that after I was here for several years, one of you came to me and said, you know, you can change that order some. But it comes down to that order of service and our doing those things so often. And it's not so much the case in our church, but in many congregations, it's about what takes place in order that individuals are properly entertained. And Robert Godfrey, who's the president of Westminster Seminary in Escondido, California, maintains that music is the third sacrament in the church. That this is really what worship is about, and the music. And it's the entertainment. But you see, the text again, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, maintains the goal of our instruction is not the horizontal plane as much as it is the vertical. The goal of our instruction is love, love for God, and out of that flows a love for one another. Now let's look at it from a different perspective. Evangelism, preaching, and worship again. Under this rubric, under this heading of the goal of our instruction is love. And I want to look at three different texts, very briefly, three different passages of Scripture that help us, it seems to me, in this idea that the goal of our instruction is love. And under evangelism again, under that heading, please turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter, the little book of 1 Peter, and the very first chapter and verses 22 and following. Since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. How is it that we are converted? How is it that it comes about? Is it that we are simply persuaded of certain precepts and assent to those precepts? Not enough. Look at what it says again. Verse 23. For you have been born again. Your heart has been recreated by the power of God. You have been born again, not of seed, which is perishable, but imperishable. That is through the living and enduring Word of God. You are transformed, dear people, by the Word of God brought to bear on your hearts by the Spirit of God. And it is a work of God. It's not so much what I say or how I say it. You know, if we lived back in the times of Jonathan Edwards and listened to him drone on reading a manuscript, we would get up and walk out, no doubt. But it was by the power of God utilizing His Word to transform the human heart. And that's what it's about. And when we talk to people about Jesus Christ, yes, there is a relationship between us and that individual. But the more important thing is that vertical relationship and what God is about and what God is doing in that human heart by the power of His Spirit. And evangelism, I submit to you, is about God communicating His mercy and love and grace to human beings. And that's an entirely different perspective. The goal of our instruction is love. To bring people to God and to love God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're about here. I suppose it's appropriate, therefore, that we should be talking about this on the very first Lord's Day of the year. And what about preaching? The goal of our instruction is love. Here to undergird that idea, I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Would you do that, please? Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and verses 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire. And without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You catch the comparison made by Isaiah speaking on behalf of the Lord God omnipotent as the rain falls and waters the earth. And who is it of us who has any control over that rain. As the rain falls and waters the earth, and the seed sprouts, we don't know exactly how, and it brings forth fruit. In the same way, God works. And in the same way, Isaiah says, God says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. And the proposition is, dear friends in Christ, that as we gather together and we open this book, the Word of God, and we look at what this Word of God has to say, God is again at work, and you have the opportunity to hear the voice of God. How does that strike you? Not because of so much as because of God's plan and purpose to utilize His Word to bring you to Him. The goal of our instruction is not simply to get the precept, but to interface with God Himself. And that is to occur as we are together. So evangelism and preaching are intended to bring us to God. And to the love of God. And what about worship? The goal of our instruction is love. Worship. Please turn with me to that text that was read in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. I want to read those words again. And I want you to look at those words, friends, not as words that are written 2,000 years ago to a church in Asia Minor, but I would like you to look at those words as words that are written to you. They are in the second person, are they not? Look at them again. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You too, dear friends, are being built together by God into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You too are being built into a temple of God. And the temple of God is the special dwelling place of God. And it is not inconsequential that when we pray at the beginning of the service, and it's called the invocation, that we invoke the presence of God in the midst of us, here in this place. And it's not just the common presence of God, but it is the special presence of God that we pray will take place, so that we meet with Him in a particular way. And we are, as a people, being brought together to come to God and worship Him and look to Him as the author and finisher of our faith and the one who pours out His grace upon us. And we have the privilege of basking in the sunshine of that grace. That's why we come together. The end and goal of our instruction is love, is God. Not ourselves, but Him. That's our church, dear friends. Look in the bulletin again, inside, if you would, to a few words that we always have printed there. Sterling Reformed Presbyterian Church is a fellowship of believers seeking to grow in the love of God. The goal of our instruction is love. And this is the case in evangelism, in the preaching, and in our worship, as it is in other areas. Sterling Reformed Presbyterian Church is a fellowship of believers seeking to grow in the love of God by coming regularly in worship before the face of God. That's one way. And by going to our community with the renewing Word of God. And that's the other way. That's our purpose. That's our stated purpose here. And it comes from God's Word in texts like the one before us. The goal of our instruction is love. May God be pleased in His grace to propel us forward so that what we have spoken about this morning is not simply something to hear, but is in fact a reality and a life we live as a church and as a congregation. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Bless us with an adequate and proper understanding of it, and grant that we may live this Word and our goal be loving You and serving You. in all that we do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.